The Gemara in the sixth parak of Shavuos on Daf Lamed Chesam and Beis discusses the concept of Shavuot, discusses the concept of taking an oath. And particularly the oath that this parak in the Gemara is talking about is the oath of a Meide B'Miktsas Hataina, which is somebody who admits to part of a claim that was registered against them. Let's say that Reuven says that Shimon owes him $200. And Shimon responds, I only owe you $100. So in such a case, Shimon is Meide B'Miktsas Hataina. Shimon admits to part of the claim against them, not to the entire claim. So in such a case, the Mishnah there in the sixth parak of Shavuos tells us that Shimon needs to swear. He needs to take an oath, the Shavua of Meide B'Miktsas. And by taking this oath, Shimon will be absolved of the claim against him. He'll pay the $100, but he will not owe the additional $100 if he in fact takes the oath. The Gemara asks, Hei chimash be'inon lei, how do we make the person take an oath? Amrav Yehuda Merav, Yehuda said name Merav, mashbi'in yisei b'shvua amur b'tayra. You make him take the sort of oath which is mentioned in the Torah. As we learn in Parash Chayasar in the second Aliyah, in Bereishis Chof Dal Gimel, Vashbiach of Hashem, Elikei HaShemayim, that when Avram sends Eliezer to go and get a Shidduch for Yitzchak in Aram Naharayim, he tells him, I will make you take an oath by Hashem, the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. And Avram tells Eliezer, Simna Yadcha Tachas Reichi, place your hand beneath my thigh, a euphemism for grasp my bris milah. Why does Avram tell Eliezer to grasp his bris milah? Because that was the only mitzvah they had around back in the day. But there in the Gemara in Shavuos it says, nowadays we don't have you grasp a bris milah when you take the oath, but rather you grasp one of two things. Either you hold a Sefer Torah or you hold tefillin. There's machlokes there in the Gemara. Is it only a Sefer Torah or will even tefillin do? And the Gemara concludes that tefillin too will do. In analyzing this Gemara, the Rebbe tries to work out what's the spiritual symbolism we can learn from this Gemara. What does the idea of Shuas Meide B'Miktsas Hataina symbolize? What does the Sefer Torah symbolize? What does the Tefillin symbolize? What's going on here? What can we learn from this very technical Gemara in terms of our spiritual Avedas Hashem? So the Rebbe explains as follows. The idea of Shavua, he says, in the name of earlier Rebbeim, the name of Tzemach Tzedek, and the name of the Alter Rebbe, is that Shavua is consonant with the word Soiva. Soiva means satisfaction. That through taking a Shavua, we get filled with something, and therefore we are satisfied, because we're full. What do we get filled with? The Rebbe says that Shavua is calling on a higher power. You are swearing by Hashem's name, you're taking an oath by Hashem's name. So you are drawing on some higher power. That's the idea of a Shavua. But you can't just connect to a higher power without some medium which connects you, without some tool which allows you to connect to that higher power. There needs to be some intermediary, there needs to be some receiver, there needs to be some bridge between the above and the below. So the bridge to connect this higher power, the bridge to connect to Hashem's empowerment, says the Rebbe, is either the idea of Torah or the idea of Tefillin. What does Torah symbolize? Torah symbolizes the idea of being completely immersed in Torah. That's holding a Torah. Somebody who spends most of their time in life studying Torah becomes a living, walking Torah. And by their Torah study, they are automatically connected to the divine. Tefillin symbolizes somebody who's not capable of being engaged in Torah study all day long, but nonetheless, as Shulchan Aruch tells us, Tefillin symbolizes shiabud hamoyach v'halev, which is subjugating, committing one's heart and mind to Hashem. And if one commits their heart and mind to Hashem, then they can draw on Hashem's higher power. Now, what does all this have to do with a shvua of meide b'miktsas hataina? Somebody who agrees to a partial claim, but who does not accept the full claim that's leveled against them. Who says they do not owe the full amount that the person who's tainting, the person who's arguing against them, says they in fact owe. So the Rebbe explains that Hashem makes a taina, Hashem makes a claim against all of us. And he says, we owe him everything. Based on the pasuk in Iyov, Perek Mem Aleph, where Hashem tells Iyov, mi hikdimani va'ashalim, who has preceded me, and I will pay them back. Meaning to say that, as the Medrash and Riyak Rab explains, Hashem gives us the means with which to serve him. Hashem gives us everything in life. There's nothing in life that we have which Hashem has not given us. There, the Medrash enumerates many examples. If you have food to eat, it ultimately came from Hashem. So make sure that you eat it in a kosher way, that you eat it in the right way. If you have a home, you only have that home because Hashem gave you that home. So make sure to put a mezuzah on it. If you have clothing, you only have that clothing because Hashem gave it to you. So make sure you wear that clothing in a manner that's consonant with the Torah. If you have a child, make sure to educate that child in the Jewish way, because you only have the child because Hashem gave you the child. And everything you do, the very fact that you have a soul, the very fact that you're alive, that ultimately too comes from Hashem. So Hashem says, "Mi yikdimani va'ashalim." Who has preceded me and I will pay them back. You don't have anything that is inherently your own, so you owe everything to me, and therefore divinity, getlichkeit, godliness should suffuse everything in your life. Now here the Rebbe says, many people balk at this claim. Many people would prefer to just leave religion in shul. They would like to leave religion at the Shabbos table. They'd like to leave religion at the shir they go to, but they don't want to Yiddishkeit, they don't want divinity, they don't want the divine perspective to pervade every part of their lives. These people are proverbially a modeb in mikzah satayna. They agree to part of Hashem's claim against them. They say, yes, Hashem, I do owe you something, and I'll pay part of it back. I'll pay it back when I go to shul. I'll pay it back when I learn a little bit of Torah. But other than that, please leave me alone. I want to live a comfortable life. This, says the Rebbe, is clearly a flawed perspective. It's an incorrect perspective. So how do we deal with this spiritual nullity of a modeb in mikzah satayna, of somebody who only admits that they owe Hashem a bit, but they don't realize that they owe Hashem everything, and therefore every part of their life should be spiritual. Every part of their life should be suffused by the divine. So here the Rebbe says that by holding a Sefer Torah, by putting on tefillin, which proverbially means either spending as much time as possible immersed in the Torah, or alternatively, if we're not given the time to be as immersed in the Torah as possible, to at least set aside time every day to contemplate and to reaffirm our commitment of mind and heart to Hashem, if we engage in those activities of the proverbial Torah or the proverbial tefillin, that will allow us to be modeb kulo, to admit that everything comes from Hashem, and allow us to happily suffuse every part of our lives with spirituality and higher ideals.